You can turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 1. We're only going to be there a moment, but it's worthy. It's worth reading. It'll kind of set our tone for what we're going to do. I kind of teared up there for a minute, so now I'm having trouble seeing. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, Jesus talking to his disciples, talking to you. See, you're disciples of the Lord, and now you might even be called apostles, but I won't go that far. That's taking too much liberty. He says this, and I'm reading in verse 8, thank you. Acts 1, 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You'll be witnesses in your neighborhood, in your county, your city, your state, even your country. You might even go outside the country.
Amen.
Be a missionary for the Lord. Wouldn't that be excellent?
Yes.
Some have done that. There are some here who have done that. Praise God. And so, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning because the Holy Spirit is the power of God.
Amen.
Where is He? In us. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in us. So I just told you the answer to my first question. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the power of God in us. Literally, He is God in us. Amen. What does the Bible tell us about His identity and His nature? Well, I just told you His identity. He's God in us. You see, that's my problem as a preacher. I get ahead of myself. But that's okay, because saying it more than once doesn't hurt a thing. We humans need that, okay?
I do.
So, what do you know about His nature? What is He like? What is He supposed to be like? How do we react to Him? How are we supposed to act? Well, hopefully we'll find out some of those things today. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you already know that the Holy Spirit is referred to as the third person of the Godhead, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know that. And the Holy Spirit, equally with the Father and the Son, is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. Wrap your brain around that one for a while. See if you can figure it out. The Holy Spirit is equal to all parts of the other persons of the Godhead, all of them. The Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed, well, that's a mouthful. That creed, created in 381, says the Holy Spirit is, and I quote, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified and was spoken of by the prophets. Amen?
Amen.
He is Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Spirit. That is, He is immaterial. He does not have a physical body. You can't touch Him. You can't hug Him and hold on to Him. He is immaterial. He is outside of and apart from all created material. How can I say that when He's in the world, in us? Because He's God. He was Creator. So He has to be outside of the creation He made. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Sure it does. So He is not part of this, although He is heavily involved in the world, isn't He? He's on duty right now, working for you and in you. He's keeping you awake and attentive.
Thank you, Jesus.
Buy into that, okay? It might get a little tedious. He is holy, involved in creation as a member of the Godhead, but separate from creation. As with the other members of the Godhead, He chooses when and where to interact in any part of creation at the behest of the Godhead. Now that's a tricky one to understand. Really what he's doing is he's choosing to be obedient to the Godhead. Their plan, God's plan, the plan of the Godhead to redeem us, it is a plan. It's step by step. It's come down through the ages. And they don't just act however they want, whenever they want. They act according to God's plan. There was a time when the Father was at work. There was a time when Jesus was on earth at work. And now there's a time when the Holy Spirit is here indwelling us, and He is at work. So they are obedient to the plan that was created by the Godhead. So he chooses to be obedient, really, is what we're saying. Go ahead, snicker. Laugh. It's okay. The Holy Spirit chooses to be obedient. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever given thought to the other attributes of the Holy Spirit? The other things that He is, represents, does. Have you ever really thought about that? Well, I'm going to give you some things to think about today. Let's pray. Father, be with us now as we go into Your Word, Lord, and learn about You, learn about the Holy Spirit, God in us. And Lord, help us to stay with it, hear it, and then apply it to our lives. Because as with all knowledge, Lord, it does us no good unless we make the application. We commit ourselves to do what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. Will we humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit? That is the question. And Lord, when we do, great things are going to happen. And we know that He will lead us into good things, things that speak of You, things that lead other people to You, because You are good, He is good, good in us, good for us, and good for others. Lord, You are for us, and the Holy Spirit is for us as well. So Lord, help us, Holy Spirit, help us to trust You and to follow Your lead, to be obedient to God's Word, and do those things that will help others find You, commit their life to You, and live in the blessing of knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you probably already know the Holy Spirit is personal to and living in believers. Believers are the only people on earth where the Holy Spirit lives in them. If you're not a believer, you don't have that. He knows us, considers us, and acts on our behalf. I just said He is for our good. He works for our good. He guides us for our good. And we are the only question mark in the equation. We must respond positively to His leadership. Amen? He acts on our behalf. That's 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 11. He can be grieved by our disobedience. Grieved by our disobedience. Ephesians 4:30 tells us that. He intercedes for us. He prays for us. He goes to God for us. In fact, it works something kind of like this. You pray. The Holy Spirit's there with you. He hears your prayer. He brings it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, where is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He hears that prayer the Holy Spirit brings to Him, and He refers it. He refines it. He picks out the part that's really the thing that you need, and He sends that to the Father. And then the Father's will comes and helps you with what your need is. It might not even end up being what you think it is, but whatever it is, He's going to help you with that good. Amen? Because He is good for us. He comforts and counsels us. The Spirit appoints specific people to do specific work for God's glory. That's what you are now. When you hear that, oh, you're a soldier in the Lord's army, that means you're working back for His good.
Amen.
Well, what is His good? What does He want? He wants people to get saved. He wants them to know Him and be with Him in glory. Amen? You're part of that. You're part of that equation of saving people. The Holy Spirit performs all these acts of love to and for believers. There's only one act He performs for non-believers. Do you know what it is? He calls them. He calls them. There is a Savior who loves you, gave His life for you. He wants you to know Him. Please, please, give in, humble yourself, and come and know Him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit for people who do not yet believe. But since you have believed, He can go on and do other things for you. And so, He performs acts of love for you and for your good. He acts from His personal place of dwelling in you. How does He know you so well? He's in you all the time, day and night. And sometimes we remember that and acknowledge it. And sometimes we don't remember it and we forget. And we do things probably shouldn't ought to do. But He forgives us, draws us back in. Why does He do that? Because He's love. He's love. God is love. The Holy Spirit is God, so He is love. Amen? The Holy Spirit is divine. I've been saying it over and over again. We have to remember He is God also. He is God. Acts 5, chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, it says this. But Peter said, now here's the situation. The church is just beginning. People who are believing in Christ want to give to the church and build it up. So they're selling possessions and giving to the church so it can provide for the needs of new believers. Amen? And so Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they decide, hey, we're going to do that. We're going to sell our property and give the proceeds to the church. And they let everybody know that, right? We sold our house. We're giving it all to the church. Only one problem. They didn't give it all to the church. They held some back, right? And then Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's going to call them on the carpet about it. Well, how did he know? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. So really, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to them. It was Peter. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part for yourself, part of the proceeds of the land that you sold? And after it was sold, it was not at your disposal. Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but you have lied to God. You lied to God. You tried to trick God because that's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit motivated them to do what they were going to do, sell the land. But then they got off track. They got off the rail, didn't they? What was the result? His wife and he both died. They were taken by the Holy Spirit. Now, yes, it's an awesome thing to think that God could take somebody home. But He will do that. He'll do that to save you from worse things, right? Is there a worse thing than being taken by God home to be with Him? Yeah, you could remain here and be doing stupid things, right? That could be worse. You may end up somewhere you don't want to be. So really, when God does that, when a person gets so low and depraved, He takes them home for their own good. If they have made a commitment to Christ. You see, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they have a reputation to uphold. They can't let believers be running around doing all kinds of stupid things. What happens when that occurs? People say, hey, they say they're a Christian. They believe in Jesus. But look at what they're doing. You can only get away with that for so long. Yes, that's a warning. Take heed to it, all right? Scripture here calls the Holy Spirit God. You don't want to miss that. That's God Himself saying the Holy Spirit is God, co-equal with the Father and the Son. And He has a mission just for you. Peter confronts Ananias, asks him why he lied. Then Peter tells him, you lied not to human beings, but you lied to God. The fact that the Holy Spirit is God is clearly seen in many passages in the Scripture. How we fail to see that, I do not know. We even talk about the Holy Spirit like He's a thing, not a person. We need to recognize He is a person, the person God. Amen? That's the Holy Spirit. So, what was the result of the lie that Ananias told? He dropped dead. He dropped dead. That was the result. Do we ever lie to the Holy Spirit? Of course we do. Once you get baptized, you said you're going to live for Christ. You're going to live for Him. You're dead to yourself. But we do all kinds of things just for us because that's our selfish, fleshly nature.
Amen.
Okay, so I know what you're thinking now. Well, we don't just drop dead like Ananias did. No, they'd be dead people laying all over the place, wouldn't they? Thank God their souls would be going to heaven. But we'd have to deal with what's left behind, right? Well, why don't we just drop dead? In a sense, we do. But it's not our physical body that drops dead. It's the blessing from God that we're dead from now. We can't be blessed as long as we're walking in sin. What do? We repent, confess, ask for forgiveness. God is love. And He says, I'm so glad. So glad you recognize what you did. And you're not going to do it again. You just said you weren't going to do it again. And I'll help you. I'll help you to be faithful. Trust me. And let's keep going.
Yes, Lord.
That's the Lord. That's His love. Amen? Then the Holy Spirit focuses on our conviction of that sin. We're convicted and then we turn to Him for forgiveness. We repent. And unless we repent to get that forgiveness, we'll carry that sin from that point on. Yes, even until you leave this world and enter eternity. You'll still have to account for that sin. It won't eliminate you from heaven. You won't be cast out. You'll lose something. Not sure what it's going to be. Scripture doesn't give us the exact thing we're going to lose, but it's going to be blessing of some sort. That's why it's so important to repent and get forgiveness for your sin. You don't have to carry that weight. Think of it as carrying a dead man around on your back all the time. There was a time when people were punished that way. Yeah, they were convicted of something. Another prisoner was executed. He was tied on the back of the other one and they had to carry him around. Thank God we don't do those things anymore. We must repent of sin that hinders us. What does it hinder? Our walk with the Holy Spirit. Hey, when we sin and we don't ask for forgiveness, it cuts off the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And then He's working on one thing from then on. What's He doing? He's saying, come on, confess that sin to me. Get forgiveness. You know you want to. You'll feel a lot better. We'll be able to walk together again. I'll be able to bless you and help you in everything you're doing. Please, please, please repent. And that's what He does as soon as we repent. He forgives us, begins walking together with us again, guides us in our walk. He can do that. He can do things that only God can do.
Amen.
Why is that?
He is God.
There you go. There's a brother that's listening. He is God. So He can do those things that God can do. Amen?
Amen.
He can do the deep things of God, the reveal to us the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is God, just as a Father and Son, as seen in the Great Commission. You know, when Jesus said, hey, you disciples of mine, go and make other disciples. And what did he tell them to do? Baptize them. Somebody says, hey, I'm believing in Jesus. He's my Savior. Okay, let's baptize you. Does baptism save you? No. It's an outward symbol of your salvation, though. When do you get saved? When you call on Jesus to save you, you're saved right then. You are baptized right then. Well, I don't remember getting wet. Not baptized in water. You're baptized into the Holy Spirit. That's when you receive the Holy Spirit. That's when He can start working in you to help you to live the life that's pleasing to the Lord. That's the baptism of the Spirit. That's the only baptism of the Spirit. Oh, some people are not going to like me saying that. But that's the truth. Any other time, any other thing that you can do in the name of the Lord, I don't care what it is, it's because the Holy Spirit is working through you and achieving those things He wants to achieve because you humbled yourself and allowed Him to do it.
Amen.
That's why it's so important to give our hearts, mind, soul, give everything we are to the Lord Jesus Christ through serving the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Godhead, are equal and share one name. It's a Hebrew name. We just say God, but they had a special word for it. Elohim. Elohim. This name of God is a singular noun. It stands for one God, the Elohim. But it's used of the Godhead as a plural noun in their language. It denotes the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And even the Hebrews always said in their liturgy, the Lord our God, He is one God. But He exists eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now that's a mind teaser. That's one that, you know, kind of hard to figure out and wrap your brain around it. So when you can't figure it out and wrap your brain around it, what should you do? Accept it on faith. Has God done anything to you for that's not for your good? Let me put it that way. No.
Not a thing.
Any negative thing that's happened to you or will happen to you is not coming from God.
Right.
It's not coming from God. It's coming from the enemy. But God will use it to draw you to Him.
Amen.
He doesn't let those things go to waste. Hey, if you got to learn the lesson and that's what's happening to you, it's a hard one, but I'm going to draw you close in that lesson. And I'm going to show you how much I love you. Amen. So Elohim means one God, but three persons doing works in that Godhead. There's dispensations of the Godhead. What's the dispensation of the Father? Well, it's the Old Testament. He's the primary figure in the Old Testament. Yes, the others are there. They're working. You see them in it. They're mentioned. They do works. But the Father is in the lead. And then you get to the Gospels, the life of Christ.
Jesus.
Who's the primary character there? Well, it's Jesus Christ, our Savior. He brings the blood of Christ, the blood of God, into the world and sheds that blood by humbling Himself and going to the cross. Becomes our Savior through that. That's the work of Christ. That's the second discipline of the three. There's lots of them. You can divide the Bible in all kinds of ways. I'm dividing it now in the work of God, the Father, the Son. And now we're in the last dispensation of the Godhead. The work of the Holy Spirit. He's inhabiting us, using us to spread the word to the whole world. Jesus gave the commandment. The Holy Spirit is the power to complete the commandment. Without Him, we wouldn't do anything. We barely do much now with Him in us. Why is that? We don't want to humble ourselves that much. That's the truth. I'm only willing to do so much. I don't want people to think I'm a kook, some kind of religious freak, right? People might say that. How should you respond when they say that of you? Praise the Lord, somebody's listening to me. And I'm having an effect on their life. Amen? So, we should obey the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. Rely on Him. Rely on His power. Worship and trust the Father and the Son through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. They're all in it for us. It's for our good. They love us. Can you imagine that? They still love us. Unbelievable. The Holy Spirit desires to be active in all believers, leading and guiding us in faith and service. You know, He drew you to faith. He drew you to trust in Jesus. He helped you to hear about the cross and understand that you needed a Savior, that you couldn't do anything that would take away your sin. You needed a God that loved you and would shed His blood for you. How'd you believe that? The Holy Spirit helped you understand that. He leads believers to be born again. You had a birth. You have a human body. It was born through a human birth. And now, if you're trusting Jesus, you've had that spiritual birth. You've been born again. And when that happened, the Holy Spirit took up residence in you. And He's been working ever since. Some of us are more stubborn than others. We don't want to do what He wants us to do. But guess what? You can't drive Him away. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will always be working to draw you closer. Amen. I'm really way off my script here, but it feels good in the Lord, so I love it. He regenerates and renews believers' spirit. We have a spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in alongside that spirit, renews it, helps us to trust Him, helps us to do the things we should do, helps us to deny our flesh. That's a lifelong work right there. It's going to be with us until the end. But with His help, we can get the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That's what we're really saying. The Holy Spirit baptizes believers into the body of Christ at salvation. That's how you're a believer. That's how you're part of the church of Jesus Christ, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can find that in Romans 6:3 and Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. They tell us, that scripture tells us, the Holy Spirit permanently, how long? Forever, eternally, permanently indwells us believers and what? Seals us. Well, when you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, that's it, you're in. You can't get out. You can't even take yourself out. You can't. You can try, but that falls into that category of, oh, you got down so low, finally the Lord said, hey, I just got to take you home. That's what happens. It's His mercy. It's His grace. There's no harm in that. If I got to go to time out, I'd rather go to time out with the Lord than anywhere else, wouldn't you? Absolutely. Praise God. The Holy Spirit assists believers in prayer. Wow, that is a big chunk right there. Praying. Hey, just finding the time to be alone with God and pray. That's a challenge in itself. And then what am I going to say? Is there a script to this? Is somebody going to tell me how to pray? Well, the Lord told you how to pray, didn't He? He gave a lesson on it. We can use that. But hey, praying is a thing that needs to be done, but it seems so hard to do. Believers in prayer take action to do God's will. That's really what prayer is about. It's to, Lord, empower me, draw me close to follow the Holy Spirit and do what you want me to do. What's the main thing he wants you to do? Talk about him. Tell about him. But here's the problem. If you're not living for him, nobody's going to want to hear what you have to say. You got to walk the walk, or nobody's going to hear your talk.
Amen.
That's the sad fact.
Amen.
So pray, pray, pray that the Holy Spirit will empower you to follow him and to do the Lord's will. Amen. Talk about him. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, fills believers with joy and peace. Isn't that good news? We can have joy and peace. It doesn't depend on what's going on out here. It doesn't depend on what's going on in the world. It doesn't depend on what's happening in Washington, D.C. It depends on our relationship with Jesus Christ, walking in the Spirit. That's what we need to be doing. He fills believers with joy and peace as they humble themselves, allowing the Holy Spirit to build their trust in the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to build you up so that you'll trust the Lord, so that you'll go and do what he's asked you to do. Hey, it can be hard talking to people about Jesus. Some people don't like that. The kindest ones will just tell you, I don't want to hear it. Some of them are more animated. But you need to go ahead and do it.
Amen.
You are the messenger.
Tell them in the way.
Angels aren't coming to tell them. Angels have done their jobs. Their job isn't to tell people about Jesus. It's our job. King Jesus said, go and tell them about me. That's what we need to do. Amen?
Amen.
Will you do it? Yes. Don't say you will if you're not committed to it.
Yes.
Okay, so that leads us to trust the Lord, because he goes with us and helps us. So we're trusting the Lord. That leaves us to overflow with hope. When we go for the Lord and we see those good results and we realize, oh, the Holy Spirit's walking with me and using me. Hey, we begin to overflow with that hope and that joy, right? Romans 15:13 tells it like this. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's when you're going to abound. When you drop the fleshly desires, when you drop your ideas about what you're going to do, and you start following the Holy Spirit, and he leads you to testify of Jesus, that's when your power from the Holy Spirit is going to take over, and hope is going to abound. The hope of Jesus, because you're telling people there is one who loved you enough to give his life in your place. Just imagine, you're on your way to death. You've been sentenced. You've been convicted. You're on your way to death.
That's right.
And the Lord says, hold on, wait a minute.
Yes.
I will take their place. Well, why? Why, Lord, are you going to do that? Because they trust me for their eternal salvation. They believe that if I die in their place, that they will live forever in me and through me. And I'm going to honor that. I'm going to do it. Amen?
Amen?
The Holy Spirit is involved in the sanctification process of believers. What is sanctification? It's setting you apart. You've been set apart from what? Out there. You've been set apart from the world. You're not to live like that anymore. You're to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been sanctified, and you're in that process of sanctification. Hey, it doesn't happen overnight. You have to learn to walk in the Holy Spirit, and you can if you will commit yourself to do it. Follow him, be in his word, fellowship with the saints. Do those things that will build you up. It's like going to the spiritual gym, right? Let's see, I got to do those sit-ups. I got to do those push-ups. I got to do some running and jogging. All those things. That's what you're doing here. You're just getting in shape to go out and do the job. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit leads believers away from the desires of the flesh and into their walk of righteousness with the Lord. Galatians 5, 16, 18 talks about that. He leads believers. He, the Holy Spirit, leads believers to produce fruit. What's the fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. Against those things, there is no law. You can be as kind as you want to be all day long, and nobody's going to say, hey, would you stop that, please? Now, there are people that will oppose you because of that. They'll see that you are living like Jesus, and they won't like it. Well, why don't they like it? What makes them look bad? They don't want to look bad. So they start opposing you. Knock that off. People are going to think you love Jesus. Well, I do, and you should too, right? Okay, so that's where you go with that one. So we're producing fruit. The Holy Spirit fills those who yield themselves to His control. That's what humbleness means. I'm giving Him permission to take the lead. I'm going to step back. Right? You heard that analogy of Jesus in the car with you and the Holy Spirit? And some people say, well, Jesus is driving. He's not driving, okay? He's done His work. It's over. He's relaxing now. He's enjoying the breeze. He's got the window open, His arm hanging out. He's liking the breeze, right? Well, where are you in the car? You're in the back seat. You're in the back seat. You're doing something back there, working on homework or something. I don't know what. But you're still working, right? So you're in the back seat. Jesus is in the front passenger side. He's enjoying the breeze. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's driving the car. He's taking you where you need to go. That's what He's doing. And if you're smart, you'll stay in the car and go with Him, right? That's the correct analogy of it. He gives you spiritual gifts of a wide variety. Scripture says each one is given for the common good of Christ's body, His church. We all have spiritual gifts. Question is, are we using them? Do you even know what it is? Ask the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll show you. He'll even help you develop it so you can get the most out of it. Amen? They are for the church. You're working to enable Christ's body to do its job. Amen? The Holy Spirit is also active among unbelievers. I already alluded to this. Maybe you didn't hear it. I don't know. The Spirit is convicting people, convicting the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Yeah. Most people out there in the world scoff at that. What do you mean? You're going to go to heaven and be judged? Nah, ain't going to happen. No, yeah, it's going to happen, right? And the Holy Spirit is pleading with them to walk with Him and learn the fact that, yes, it is going to happen, but there is a way to escape that end. And that way is Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the way. Yes, the way of salvation. The Spirit testifies of Christ. John 15, 26. He testifies of Christ and aids us in evangelism. That's what, when we're out there talking about Jesus, that's what we're doing. We're evangelizing the world. The Holy Spirit is also actively restraining sin and working against the secret power of lawlessness. Did you know that? If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, this world would be toast a long time ago. But the Holy Spirit is working on God's schedule. That's God Almighty, the three in one. That schedule. And when that schedule says, it's over, draw the curtain, boom, we're going to go out of here in the rapture. The Antichrist is going to take over, and we're going to proceed into the end time events, the real end of the end time events. Because of the influence of the Holy Spirit in the world, the fulfillment of the Antichrist is kept at bay until God releases him. Oh, he's free to work now. That's not what I'm talking about. He works in the world now. But God has not released him to do the ultimate betrayal of taking over the world. The Holy Spirit also gives believers wisdom by which to understand spiritual things. A lot of people come into church and say, I can't understand that. I don't know what it's talking about. You need to accept the Lord and receive the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about anything you have to do outwardly to show that you received the Holy Spirit. That's not it. The Bible doesn't say when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have to do certain things to show it. No, it doesn't say that. Those are interpretations by various denominations. But the Bible says, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is in God. They know. He knows, right? No amount of human knowledge can replace the teaching of the Holy Spirit. That's why we walk in the Spirit to receive His teachings. Hang in there, it's not much longer. In fact, Ryan, you can come on up to the front, please. The Holy Spirit draws us to our personal relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's working right now in the world, drawing people to come to the Lord Jesus and be involved. He allows us to know Him and fellowship with Him. He allows that. It's called prayer. We fellowship with Him through that. And then we come and fellowship with His body for encouragement and teaching. He allows all that. Because He is divine, we can obey Him and even worship Him. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He is divine. He is worthy. But that's not the way the Holy Spirit wants it. He doesn't want us to worship Him. He wants us to worship Jesus Christ because He suffered the cross for us. Not that the Holy Spirit is less important, but He believes Jesus is the focal point. Rightly so, amen? So, even though we can worship the Holy Spirit, He doesn't want that. He directs that worship up to the Lord Jesus Christ for the suffering Christ endured for humanity. Always remember, the Holy Spirit has armed believers with His Word. You have a weapon. Here it is. Here it is. It's called the sword of the Lord in Scripture. You can use that weapon. Most of the time, people won't even realize what you're doing. But you can use it. And when they do realize it, then you can give them both barrels. Yes. Jesus loves you. He gave His life for you.
Amen.
Amen. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God. Where did we get it? Where did we get the Word of God? The Holy Spirit gave it to righteous men of old who wrote it down so we could have it and use it. Amen? The Holy Spirit is God's active power in us.
Amen.
I want you to think about that. The Holy Spirit is God, His power acting in us and through us. To receive that power, to receive the Holy Spirit, you must be born again. Jesus testified to that. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. If not, you're working in your own power. You must be born again. You must have Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of your heart and life and letting the Holy Spirit empower you to follow His guidelines. Amen?
Amen.
Until then, He is guiding you to be born again. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Guide people to get born again, then He'll tell them how to act after that and show them. Amen? The Holy Spirit said in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
For the heart, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What is that scripture telling us? It's not enough to just believe it. You need to share it. You need to tell people, I trust Jesus as my Savior. I'm going to work for Him the rest of my life. That work can be just as simple as doing whatever you do and telling people about Jesus. But you're working for Him. Amen?
Amen?
If you've not been born again, the altar's open. Come up here. I'd love to share with you just what you need to do. And just what it says there. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. But you can't do that in secret. If you confess with your mouth, you're talking to someone, confessing it. You're coming out of the closet and you're going to let people know, I'm living for Christ. So you can get on to me when you see me doing something that's not Christ-like.
Peace and joy, come
with it. That's right. So we're going to sing. When you feel the Holy Spirit moving you, go with it. Don't resist it.